Father, this morning we have come to your presence to learn at your feet. Lord, please speak to us this morning that your name alone will be glorified. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Thank God for what Prof did last week. Must have done justice to it, so I'm just going to do my own bit also. You see, God has spoken. The Bible said, once God has spoken, twice I've heard. God had instructed us, humanity, especially we as children, how to succeed in life. You know, that's why I like the song, when you walk with the Lord, trust and obey. Everything had been given. He said, his divine power had given unto all of us all that pertain to life and godliness. We are going to be looking today again at success through apprenticeship. Like I just spoke about Sister Yemi, Sister Efti, Uche, and quite a number of them in the worship team. The younger generation, if they don't have the mindset of an apprenticeship, can you imagine suddenly we don't have people who will minister to us at that level again? Suddenly, just imagine. So the younger generations must have that mindset. For us to succeed in life, we must have that mindset in any endeavor whatsoever. But before I go to the message, let me read this intro to you. And so we can understand the big picture. Really and truly, we are not created to do small things. Everybody. I'm talking about all humanity, not we children of God alone. Don't let us make that mistake. Because some of us, many years ago, were not children of God. So, God will not wait until you become a child because you are successful. Some people are already professors. They become born again. So humanity at large. We were designed by God to do big and great things. He created us in his image. That's huge. That's big. It's unfathomable. Just think about the creation and the magnificence of and complexity of creation, especially our planet here, Earth. Not even talking about the universe. Not talking about galaxies. Leave that. Let's look at this small place we call Earth, and it's a small place, our planet. And guess who should manage it? Man. That's why the Bible says, heaven and the heaven belongs to God. We are the one to manage this place. That's our job. That's your job, that's my job. Nigerians have been created to manage Nigeria. Not to only depend on FDI. We've been created to give ourselves light. To manufacture car for ourselves. To be able to feed ourselves. That's why we live in this geographical space called Nigeria. So it is not any lorry or whatever that we are running away and we are just doing what we like. I don't want to tell you what it is called, where we have found ourselves today, but that's not where I'm going. And I will tell you the reason why we got to where we are today. Hopefully. So we got put a manager who has not been equipped and don't have what it takes to manage the app. That's the question. Now you just build a business. over the years, and you want somebody to take over your business, and suddenly you look for somebody that is not competent. Capital no. I don't care how close people are to you. If they are not competent, you cannot take that risk. You'll be asking yourself a question. All my sweat over the years. So God will not put man to manage the earth if he did not equip man. And I have news for you. Men have done a good job. Yes or no? Sons of men, have they not done a good job? Have they not done a good job? They've done a good job. The question is this. Are you going to contribute your own quota? What am I doing with my life? Let your light so shine. Let your light so shine among men. Certainly not. So we have what it takes to face and subdue our challenges. In life, if we understand what to do, we have what it takes. Please stop complaining about Nigeria. Stop it. You have what it takes. If we understand what to do. Psalm 8 from verse 1 to 9, I want us to read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Let's read together. Oh Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Thou hast set thy glory above the heaven. Verse 2. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou art ordained strength because of thy enemy, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger with their place. Listen to that verse. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings. I used to be 1 month old, sometimes in the past. The greatest of all men used to be 1 day old. Out of the mouth of what? Babes and what? Sucklings. Same 1 month old boy is standing before you then to tell you how God designed life, how God designed us to dominate. The same young man that you underestimate became the president of a nation. The same young man that you look at became somebody that did what all of us are enjoying today. Everything you are enjoying is a product from one man. Out of the mouth of what? Babes and what? Suckling. You heard about medical tests. Who designed those things? Men like you and I. You have ordained strength. That you do what? That you steal the avenger. And I go on verse 3. When I consider the heavens and the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou art ordained, and I ask myself a question. You know what? In those days, even the psalmist didn't have the capacity to know what we know today. But they can just explain what they can explain. He said, when I consider everything you've done, there is one question that everybody has been asking about us. Verse 4. He said, what is what? Now, I want you to answer, what is what? Say, what is man? I can't hear you say. I can't hear you say. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Say, God is mindful of me. Say, God is mindful of me. I want you to be conscious of that. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou do what? You visited him. Humanity. The investment of God. He said, you made him a little lower than the angels. And you crown him with what? Glory and honor. Ah, nobody can take your glory. It's not possible. Don't believe what they are saying. Don't let Nigeria recreate you. Don't let your environment recreate you, and you are losing out on your dreams and aspirations in life. Talk time never lasts, but tough people do. People become tougher than times and situations. Man have conquered the sea. Man have conquered the air. Man are going to the outer space now. Man, that are mindful of him. A little lower than the angels. And you crown him with glory and honor. Verse 6. Thou madest him to have what? Over what? Works of thy hand. Thou hast put all things under where? Is it? That's man. If you are a man, shout hallelujah. There is no exemption. No exemption. That is why, as a man, don't underestimate anybody. Out of the mouth of babe and suckling, don't underestimate anybody. That's who you are. All sheep and oxen, yea, the beast of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the path of the sea. O Lord our God, how excellent your name is in all the earth. Can I ask you to do something? Can you put your hands together that you are a man created by God? Please, celebrate your humanity, and much more, celebrate your salvation. Thank you. Don't ever let anyone look down on you, please. And don't look down on yourself. Never. There's never nothing like the best person, the best anything. No, the best is always yet to come. And like I keep saying, the best of us, the least of our children will surpass our greatness in the name of Jesus. Is that not the prayer of a good parent? But we have to be conscious of something. It's called apprenticeship. My first point this morning is awareness of apprenticeship. Awareness. That's where everything comes from. Success. You are employed in a place of work. If the only thing you go there to do is the fact that you have a job, you are missing something. You are an apprentice. Some of us seated there looking at me today. You remember when you got your first job? One of my friends used to tell me a story that he was working from pillar to post, doing everything for that organization. From pillar, the day he said he was leaving, they were begging, and he said, I'm leaving, enough is. And when he was working, he was conscious that he was building himself up. Quite a number of people, you are working in a place, you are just going there, as if you are just going there to collect your salary. You are, if you don't have the apprenticeship mindset, you can leave the place the way you enter the place. Oh, some of us are in the church. I joined the worship team, for example. And Sister Yemi just rendered something. Look at the way she took at her voice. And suddenly, you are just there. Come and sing. Hallelujah. Just back up and do everything. And that is all that your vision is. You are missing out. Because the standard has already been set. Apprenticeship. Tunde, I used to know him when he used to carry keyboard for people in those days. Many, many years ago, this Tunde that plays the keyboard there. You are in the church. You are in the department. You are just strolling in stone and there is no consciousness of greatness. I used to be a member of a worship team. In those days, I used to be a member of a worship team. So when there is no consciousness of apprenticeship, you know what happened? You live carelessly. You are not conscious of anything. You just do whatever you like. And so in the future, opportunity comes. And suddenly they have to promote somebody in that place of work. And they are looking for somebody who has mastered the art. They will not tell you that you are doing apprenticeship. They will just be looking at everybody. And guess what? They now look for Mr. Lagbaja and somebody say, I'm a Christian and I'm praying. Yes, you can be praying, but you are not conscious of who you are supposed to be. Some people are working in places. Instead of trying to be focused, they are criticizing their organ and everything. All you are looking for is the weakness of people. You have lost focus. You've lost focus. So that is one of the greatest challenges that we have in church today. People are not conscious of this simple word of apprenticeship. So how do we get another generation that is greater than a particular generation? Of course, in the church, we call it discipleship. That's why I use the general word apprenticeship, even in your place of work. And let me look at a few people in scriptures. Moses, number one. I'll just tell you a short story about them. Moses. Now, when Moses thought he was ready. No, you know what? Moses was in the palace of Pharaoh. He thought that was all that God wanted for him. We have been in the palace for how many years, so I know what to do. So he went out. He wanted to go and deliver them by killing somebody. That's why I tell you, believers, please, 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 and please. Look, hatred. When you are unforgiving, you are doing, it doesn't work with God. And God took Moses out of Egypt and took him to the place of his apprenticeship. Moses was in the wilderness for 40 years. It was after 40 years they were qualified to be used by God. It was God that discipled Moses himself. Moses wouldn't ever have been useful for the assignment. It's not possible. And you know it. When you read the story, you read Pharaoh, you read what he had to face, you will understand that a man that is not well baked, what's going to happen to him? He's going to make a shipwreck of all assignments. That's why sometimes you say Christians are not standing. They are compromising. Somebody, people are beating their wife. People are doing their husband. It is only because there is no proper apprenticeship. I'm coming to us parents. Just relax. And God is in control. Imagine the heat of Egypt. From Pharaoh, from children of Israel. Imagine if noon after the deliverance, when they go to the Red Sea, who is a man that will cross the Red Sea if a man has not been trained by God? Do you know why people don't cross the Red Sea of their life? It's because they did not submit themselves to apprenticeship. The great God, and you want to do great things for God, you must understand that God has standards. And guess what? We have an adversary. The adversary has been living for I don't know how many thousand years. Very, very old devil. But of course, after Moses, it was Joshua. Now, immediately God trained a man. You know what? God expects men to train men. So it was Moses that trained Joshua. What about Elijah and Elisha? What did we know about Elijah? We just heard Elijah the Tishbite. He must have been trained by God. Because we didn't know the antecedent of Elijah. And what Elijah did, and the kind of entourage that came to carry Elijah away, Elijah occupied his special place in heaven. Remember in the month of Transfiguration, who came? Elijah and Moses. So there are men at their left. Say there are men, and there are men. Of course, Elijah has to train Elisha. Apprenticeship. What about David? King David. And Saul. How is it that the same Saul that God had rejected is the one that has to train David? The anointing does not qualify you for the post. You must be an apprentice. Somebody can tell me David was anointed. Yes, he was anointed. But he still had to go for training under Saul. Because Saul was the best that God had that could train David. Remember when Saul died and Jonathan, when David said, "How are the mighty fallen?" David said about Saul and Jonathan, he said they were stronger than lion and swifter than eagle. That was what God sent David to go and learn from Saul and Jonathan. So because you are somewhere and they are not treating you well, does not mean God did not send you there. Be focused. Tell somebody, be focused. Tell that one, be focused. Now, because something is not going right, does not mean God is not there. Some of us, some of our marriages that is window, maybe you already have a ministry along those lines, and somebody is fighting that ministry, and you are subjecting yourself. No. You know, I said it on Tuesday. There was a time that someone took a javelin and he wanted to pin David to where? To the wall. Everybody will say, "This is the devil." God can handle your situation. What about Samuel and Eli? Samuel was going to replace Eli. It was the same Shiloh that God sent Samuel to be trained. Apprenticeship. When you are well trained, you're on your way to success in life. So please let me now come home to us and our children. Do you know that our children, when they were young and they were growing up, suddenly they get to a particular, do you know that what they are doing with us is called apprenticeship? That's what they are doing with us. All the children that you see is called apprenticeship. Now, you know what? Don't do that. You don't do that that way. You don't do this. You don't do this. You don't do this. And they are watching us. They are watching our marriage. Now, sons, they are watching the way their dad is treating their mom. Daughters are watching the way their mom is treating their dad. Do you know what happened? When they grow up, it's only God that will help us for them to change. Because we are creatures of habits. Apprenticeship. We teach our children to succeed. No, we send them to school. But that does not replace our place. That is why God designed life. That apprenticeship is what it is called. That is why, let me ask you a question. Some of our children, they leave us at like one quarter of their life. Maybe some of them 25, 26. Maybe they're going to live 100 plus years. Guess what? At 20 something, they've left. So that means your training has almost ended. The only thing that is left is what you have given them. What you have put inside them. And that's why the Bible says in Proverbs 22 verse 6, it said, "Train up a child in where he should go." He said, "When he is what? He's old, he will not depart." I don't care where they go to, because they're still going to face their own challenges in life. Your training does not immune them from their own challenges. So when he's old, he will not depart from it. No matter what happens, no matter the challenges of life, that training stays with them. Apprenticeship. Proverbs 15:22 says, "Without counsel, purposes are disappointed." Without counsel, purposes, what I want to become. Oh, maybe I should be the MD of that company. Oh, I want to become the this. Oh, I want to be a preacher. Oh, I want to be a pastor. Oh, he said without counsel, without training, without apprenticeship, purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, they are what? Established. Apprenticeship. Proverbs 19, 20 and 24. Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. A slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom, and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. Apprenticeship, the awareness. Now, let me tell you something. Please, please, and please. And I can tell you this safely. For adventure, maybe you thought you've not done a good job and your children have left. There's grace. There's grace. But you must be conscious of what you did not do. And begin, you know in school they have to do rerun and receipt. Be conscious of what you did not do right. And ask God for forgiveness. And you can begin now to make up. It is possible. In God, God can turn things around. And most of you, when your children are still very small, be conscious. Don't be asking for your rights. Somebody has done something and the thing is wrong. And you are messing up the whole house. You are doing everything. Your sons are listening to you. Your daughters are listening to you. Do you know what? You will be thinking they are not, if you are a creator of habits. If you are not careful, they may repeat what you have done. That will not be your story in the name of Jesus. I say that will not be our story in the name of Jesus. I want us to be aware of apprenticeship and where you are working. Put your best into what you do. I'm not saying the fact that they are even treating you well. They did not, were they treating Joseph well? Was Saul treating David well? No, but they were focused. Just imagine if Joseph didn't pass through what he passed through. When he became a prime minister, that would have been calamity. Did you not see your nation, Nigeria, today? Apprenticeship, is it? Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Number two this morning. Asset or must have for apprenticeship. Must have. Do you know that as I am standing before you, I'm still an apprentice. You know why? This is not my zenith. I still ask people questions. I still go for counsel. I still go. This can't be where I'm going in life. There's always somebody who knows more than me. There's always somebody, something I want to do. Now, you just want to start a business. You don't know anything about it. You only had money. You will not go to somebody who has succeeded in it. And don't become a big man there. Think like an apprentice. Submit yourself as an apprentice. Some of us, we have ideas, we have everything. There's something that we don't know. Must have. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I read from verse 25. Must have. Must have. Now, I read. And every man that striveth for what? For mastery. You want to be what? You want to be what? You want to be a master. Mastery. You want to be an expert. You want to be on top of your game. Every man that striveth for mastery. This is an advice. He said, must be temperate in all things. Everybody say temperate. Everybody say temperate. It's an advice. We finish reading it and we are coming back to it. Must be temperate in all things. You strive for mastery. Do you know that I've seen people work in an office and they are just too full of themselves. They can't obey simple instruction. They talk down on their bosses. Whatever you tell them to do, they do at their own will. And they do whatever they like. And suddenly, a retrenchment is coming up. And they are praying. God, may they not retrench. Let them not retrench me. Who should they retrench first? I've seen people work with people that the only thing you hear in their mouth is the weakness of their bosses. It's called distraction. The man is not good. The man is doing wrong. The man, but what the man, what you have gone there to do, did the man know it? The answer is yes. So you've lost focus of your mission there. The only thing that you are analyzing is the character of your boss. You have missed it. Was Elijah a good leader? In your own eye. Huh? Was he a good leader? If you want to define him, was Elijah a good leader? In your own definition, by man, was he a good leader? When God was taking you, and this guy has been with you for about 10 years, and you don't tell him. I mean, you will call Elijah, Elisha, and say, Elisha, I'm going home. I don't know what you want to, so let's discuss. He didn't tell him. He said, God has sent me somewhere. Who does that? Elisha said, because you know what? Men that are looking for something, they can see. That is the test. If Elisha did not pass that final test, he can never get a job portion. So please don't tell me that I worked somewhere for 10 years. I've been with him for 15 years. And see what has happened to me. No, what has happened is the fact that you don't have the mindset of an apprentice. They got to the first place and he told him to tarry there again. To do what? Say, God has sent me here. Elisha said, what did Elisha say? Tell me the answer of Elisha. As long as you leave it, Abby. What was the answer of Elisha? As long as what? He said nothing. No. Do you know that some of us here, there are some people that you should go to them and be, you can say, let me be driving you, sir, uncle, auntie, moko fema wine. Elisha said, nothing will separate us. No. And let me tell you something, you got to a place you see commentators. Commentators, maybe your friends. The way they are treating you is not good. In fact, your boss is not a good man. Your clinical is not something. And that's what they are telling you. No, that office, if I were you, I would resign. I would not work there again. If I were this one, I would do this one. They were the sons of prophets. Elijah said, hold your peace. It shall be well with us. I say it will be well with us. Success through apprenticeship. Anywhere you work for 5, 6, 8, 10 years, you should be able to do everything they are doing there. In fact, if you are very effective, they should have moved you to different departments. If you are very, very effective. Even in the church. So, a pastor can decide to shift you from a department to another department. Don't be angry and don't be annoyed. You know that in life, if you are asking for your rights, you know what? You get to a point in which you become your own master. You're always asking for your rights. Even your relationship with your wife, with your husband. Your rights. Okay, fair enough. You can't always be asking for your rights. Where is the place of sacrifice? Where? If Jesus was supposed to ask for his rights, he wouldn't have come to die for us. And we are enjoying the benefit of his death and resurrection. And we are calling his name today. It's not about my rights. It's about what is right. No, it's not about my rights. It is about what is right. What is right is for Joseph to be sold to slavery. The right of Joseph, if you want to ask Joseph, is not to go to slavery. But that is what is right in the eyes of God. Maybe my right is to get a contract and it's 20 million and I decide put it 100 million and they bring it out in my name. Yes, but what is right before God is what? Is no. I can't do this and sin against God. Oh, it's my right to prove to Potiphar and his wife that they've lied against me. It's my right. It's the right of Joseph. But what is right is for Joseph to go to prison. Be careful to keep asking for your rights all the time. Because you can miss God asking for your rights. Oh, it's my rights to have some money in my pocket. And I needed to do something. And the money is not enough. It's my right to keep the money. Maybe the right thing to do is to give the money to somebody. It's my right to do fire for fire. No. He has offended me. I cannot, even if I forgive, I can never forget. It's my right. But you know the right thing is to forgive and forget. So when are we going to drop our rights for the right things? So, he said he's temperate in all things. Now, look at what the Bible says. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. That is to say that in this world that you live in, you want to become anything, you must be temperate. In the kingdom of heaven, you want to become anything, you must be temperate. Both spiritual and physical. Now, verse 26, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. Verse 27, let's do together, 1, 2, 3, go. But I do what? What do you keep under? What do you keep under? That's my rights. I forgot my rights. Oh, my right is to go to court about that case. It's my right. Everything, I mean, it's not good. But it may be the right thing is to go and settle. Oh, my right is to get out of that house. No, that's my right. No, I can't take it no more. No, it's not possible again. Maybe the right thing, depend on, maybe the right thing is to settle for peace. It's my right to walk around the people that I think are saying yes to me all the time. Yes, man, is my right. Maybe the right thing is to walk with people who will say no to you so that you can outgrow your challenges. Maybe it's my right. They are making me angry. I can't walk there. I'm going to get out of that place. Maybe the right thing is to stay there so that you overcome your anger. Maybe that is the right thing. So this morning, my brother, my sister, apprenticeship. He said, I put my body under. Don't forget, the Bible says flesh is enmity against God. As children of God, our body is what is standing before us and our destiny most of the time. So this morning, as you are seated there, can we begin to just ask God for us to do the right thing, not necessarily my rights. You see, it is never about my rights. It's about the right thing. If I look at my right in life, I'm most likely going to be limited. But if I do the right things, most likely, I can attract the grace of God. We live in a country where people talk about their rights, and they are not doing the right things. And we can't afford to be like them. Shall we rise this morning and begin to worship God? Mr. FT, please, can you come, please? I want us to look up to Him and worship God this morning. I'm not going to tell you exactly what God has to tell you to do, but just worship God and let God begin to minister to your hearts the right things to do. Let God just minister to your heart the right things to do. Not about my rights. Can I drop my right for the right thing? Yes. It is the right of David to kill Saul when he got him sleeping. But the right thing is for him not to touch the anointing. So when you hear about the success of David, was a man after the heart of God, it was on the platform of sacrifice. Sacrifice for his right. The man was running after him and his life. He wanted to terminate his life. And he caught the man sleeping. Check this out. The men that followed him, that's why be conscious of the men that followed you. They said, now the Lord has delivered your enemy into your hands. You know what David said? I will never stretch forth my hand to do what? The anointed of God. Now think about it. It was the right of David, but it was not the right thing for David to do. Can we worship God this morning?
You, Lord, You are worthy. No one can worship You for me. For all the things You've done for me, no one can worship You for me.
Here's my worship.
This is my worship. All of my worship. Receive my worship.
All of my worship.
All of my worship.
Here is my worship, Lord.
My worship.
I present it to You.
All of my worship.
Here is my worship, Father.
And I will not be silent. I will always worship You.
Neither is He a son of man that should repent. This morning, can you exchange your right for the right thing? The right thing is what God wants you to do. Say, God, I know I have my rights, but I want to exchange my right for the right things You want me to do. Please, oh God, I need your grace. I want to exchange my right for the right thing that you want me to do. Oh, the right thing is for... Can you imagine to go to prison become the right thing? Yes. In Jesus' name we are praying. I want to pray for yourself this morning. And if you can get in that direction. Walk in that at that level. You know what? You know the Bible says the word of Samuel never fall to the ground. You want to walk in that anointing? Do you want to walk in at that level? Can you? You know why? Blessed are the pure in hearts, for they shall do what? They shall seek God. Can you pray that your ministry will blossom? I want to pray this morning. You surely have an assignment from God. It's not all about what I have. It's about the right thing. God, what you have called me to do will blossom in my hands. Yes. When I pray, you will answer speedily. When I call you God, you will be there. Every self-centeredness, it's all about me. God, I drop it before your presence today. And you take me to a greater height. Oh, then I can be restored. I want you to pray for grace of restoration. Some of us will know the kind of ministry, we know what we are working. I want you to pray for restoration this morning. Restoration. Yeah. If you have an apprentice, you must be a master. And he said, mastery, you must be temperate in all things. Accommodating. Yes. You have an enlarged heart. You can forgive. And all holding people sin against them. In Jesus' name we are prayed. Father in heaven, we are grateful to you. We bless you. Lord God of heaven, I pray this morning, Lord, we are people of authority. Please, oh God, take us to our place of authority in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray, as all of us this morning standing before you and people that are watching me online, as they will be speaking to you, Lord, the people that are not hearing you again, let them begin to hear you. Some people that see visions before, let them begin to see in the name of Jesus. I pray that every door that is locked before your people, let it be open. Doors of abundance will be open before you in the name of Jesus. Your womb will be open in the name of Jesus. Father, we appreciate your majesty. In Jesus' name we pray. Can we put our hands together for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Can we put our hands together for Jesus this morning? Praise the Lord. Please say after me. It is not about mine. It is about the right thing. Can we share the grace together?